All Talks of Life with Chris Viniquez.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back in. This is All Talks of Life with Chris Viniquez. I am your host. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of All Talks of Life. I hope that you enjoyed last week's episode, got into some playoff picks, but also got into some movie sequels, greatest movie sequels of all time. I've gotten some feedback. Nobody has disagreed with me yet. Terminator 2, number one. People know what's up. Arnold showed up, did what he had to do, got into that last week, last show. So go check that out if you haven't checked that out, because I also have a number 2 through 4, and I also have an honorable mention for greatest movie sequel of all time. Check that out. All Talks of Life, available on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Overcast, so many more places, but you could definitely check that out. Let somebody know when the episode drops on Facebook that I'm putting it out, the links. You know, share the links with somebody. Let them know, hey, get into the convo. See what my man is talking about and see if you got something better. See if you got something that I forgot. All right. I got to breathe out a little bit. You got to breathe out. I didn't expect to start the show like this today, but I got to start the show like this today. I got to start the show a little melancholy today. Today's going to be a quarterback heavy show. I'm going to give some picks, obviously, later on. Sunday, January 30th, is the AFC and NFC championship games. Hype for that. Ready for that. But I also got to look back a little bit on the week that was, on a quarterback that was. And right now, also want to look back on an 18-year career of a quarterback that was. News coming out Thursday morning. My guy, Big Ben Roethlisberger, has decided to hang up the cleats. He retired, letting people know that he was truly grateful to be a part of the Steelers and the NFL, that he was truly grateful to be a former NFL player. I just got to salute my guy, 18 years under center, only played 2 games in his starting regular season career where the Steelers were out of it, where they weren't in playoff contention. Ben Roethlisberger started 165 games for the Pittsburgh Steelers. 163 of those he played while they were still in contention. So obviously we understand the greatness that has been Big Ben Roethlisberger. We understand the greatness that was, that is, the Steel Curtain, the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, how great they are run. We understand the great coaches that he had, Bill Cowher and now Mike Tomlin. So we know that greatness was consistent with number 7. We know that greatness has been consistent with this franchise dating back to Chuck Knoll. Before Chuck Knoll, this franchise was a laughingstock, was a joke. But Mr. Rooney went out there and got Chuck Knoll. Mr. Rooney started thinking about things a little different, and his son started thinking about things a little different. Steelers franchise turned around. And obviously, we understand that the Steel Curtain dominated the 70s, winning 2 back-to-back Super Bowls, 4 Super Bowls in total, obviously. And then Bill Cowher got a Super Bowl. Ben Roethlisberger got 2 Super Bowls. So I just want to start out, hey, letting you know that Ben Roethlisberger, give you a little biography here. Ben Roethlisberger was drafted 11th overall in 2004. Now, It's great that Ben Roethlisberger ended his regular season career versus his rival Ravens, because he started his career versus his rival Ravens in week number 2 of his rookie season. That season, the Pittsburgh Steelers went 15-1, and they also went to the AFC Championship, but they lost to the GOAT, Tom Brady, in the AFC Championship game. That year, Ben Roethlisberger won Rookie of the Year. Offensive Rookie of the Year. Ben Roethlisberger also in what is supposed to be a Hall of Fame career. We'll see how the voting goes. But for me, this is a Hall of Fame career. Rookie of the Year, obviously, like I just said, fifth most passing yards in league history with 64,088. A lot of passing yards right there. But in the great and storied history of the franchise that is my loving franchise, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger ends up with 418 pass TDs, first in Pittsburgh history. 64,088 yards, like I just said, first in Pittsburgh history. 5,440 completions, first in Pittsburgh history. He's fifth all-time in completions, fifth all-time, like I said before, in pass yards, and he's eighth all-time in passing touchdowns. So Ben Roethlisberger has definitely put in some work. Ben Roethlisberger has flung that football around the field. Ben Roethlisberger has been consistent. Ben Roethlisberger has gone to work. And I just got to say that Ben Roethlisberger also is a two-time Super Bowl champion. Yeah, I know. He went to three Super Bowls, lost one in 2010, I believe. I believe it was 2010, if my memory serves me right. I know definitely was against the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers, Super Bowl MVP. Great game, but I know he got that one loss. Nonetheless, the Steelers ruled the AFC three times in Ben Roethlisberger's career, obviously because they went to three Super Bowls and then won Super Bowl 40, which was the last stop for the bus against the Seattle Seahawks. He didn't play great that game. Got carried by the defense, got carried by the run game. But let's not forget that 3 years later, Big Ben Roethlisberger's defining moment and defining game of his career came in Super Bowl 43 versus the Arizona Cardinals, whose quarterback was Kurt Warner. Super Bowl champion Kurt Warner. And we understand what happened with 35 seconds left. Big Ben Roethlisberger comes down, leads the team down the field, marching right down the field. And then corner the end zone, bang! Great pass, all time, one of the greatest throws in Super Bowl history. I didn't say the greatest throw. I said one of the greatest throws in Super Bowl history to Santonio Holmes. Great catch. Put it only where Santonio could catch it. Nobody else could have caught that ball, no defender, just his receiver. Pittsburgh fans, I know we were a little shaky. You know, coming up on that in that sequence right there, Ben Roethlisberger had missed the pass, and then all of a sudden, you know, he comes back and says, "You know what? I'm going for it again." Santonio Holmes, boom, put it right where he had to put it. Defining moment in his career. Ben Roethlisberger had, I'm sorry, I said earlier had 165 starts. He did not. He has 165 regular season victories. I'm sorry, let me correct that. For fifth most in NFL history. He also had, as he's walking away, he also earned a 67% regular season winning percentage as a starting quarterback, the second highest in franchise history, but sixth highest in NFL history. So there's only five guys ahead of him that have won more games percentage-wise in the history of this league than Big Ben Roethlisberger. Juju Smith-Schuster took to Twitter and said, "Thanks for everything, Seven." J.J. Watt took to Twitter and said, "Legend." The Steelers organization said, "For everything you've done for the organization, the city, and for the game, hashtag thank you, Seven." Big Ben Roethlisberger, his retirement was due. Obviously, we understand that the last couple of years, he didn't have his greatest seasons. In 2019, I believe it was week two, he suffered a season-ending elbow injury. You know, so the injuries began to catch up. Father Time began to catch up. We know that Ben Roethlisberger was not like Mr. Olympia or anything like that. Or, you know, He wasn't on any cover of magazines or whatever, or Muscle and Fitness. So obviously, Father Time was going to catch up with him sooner than it would catch up, you know, with a guy like Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers and, you know, things of that nature. But Father Time finally caught up. And we saw it the last couple years. He didn't have the greatest seasons, but the team kept winning. The last 2 years went to the playoffs, obviously. So as Ben Roethlisberger ends his career, you know, he didn't leave Pittsburgh with a team that was coming out of the draft with the number one pick now, or the top five or top 10 pick. That's not what happened here. It's not New York. It's not Eli Manning's situation. Ben Roethlisberger left this franchise with two chances at looking at the Lombardi Trophy. They came up short, no doubt. But he could have left this team in a worse shape, worse situation. But Ben Roethlisberger came back for the 2020 season, lowered his salary, lowered his cap hit, helped out the Steelers a little bit, and obviously Steelers made a run. Now, I'm sorry, They didn't make a run. They had a chance at the Lombardi Trophy. I keep saying that word, so used to saying that word when it comes to the playoffs. They had a chance at the Lombardi Trophy. Obviously, they got smoked both times against the Browns and against the Chiefs. But looking at Big Ben's career, rookie of the year, two-time Super Bowl champion, fifth most passing yards in league history, fifth all-time in completions, eighth all-time in pass TDs, sixth all-time in winning percentage. I mean, I just don't understand how you would say that this man is a fringe Hall of Famer, that you might vote for him if you're a voter. I just really don't get that. Really wouldn't understand that if in 2027, when he's due, just wouldn't get it. This ain't Roger Clemens. This ain't Barry Bonds. We don't got no steroid issues here. I understand that he might not have been the nicest guy, and he might not have had the cleanest off-the-field life. I get all that. We're talking about on the field. You hear me mentioning all of his accomplishments. 15-1 rookie season. What else is there to talk about? What else is there to say? You don't like the brother? I understand. I get it. No problem. Personally. But on the field, we cannot negate what the man has accomplished. We cannot negate what the man has done. We can't sit here and say with a straight face, this man doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. So, Big Ben, my man, I just want to say thank you. From all Steelers fans, thank you. Thank you, Seven. Two Super Bowl championships. We'll never forget. Numerous division titles, battles with the Ravens, just so many great and entertaining games. I mean, just some legendary stuff that we've seen, especially, man, that Week 18 versus the Ravens, back and forth, just a grind. The battles against Ray Lewis and those teams, some legendary stuff, some great stuff that I'll never forget. And honestly, you know, the time that he had with Antonio Brown, just the way that they clicked, the way that they just, man, they just seemed that 1-2 punch was so great. I know they never got it done. They never got that Super Bowl championship. But it was just some fun stuff to watch. Can't front, can't lie. I can't leave without saying also that, you know, Cam Hayward also said that Ben has always been a fighter, and that he always gave the Steelers a chance, and that he's battled a lot. And it's true. I echo those sentiments, and that's what I love about Big Ben Roethlisberger in some way, is that he has been a fighter. Obviously, earlier in his career, he was a guy that, you know, when he saw that little seam, he ran right through it, tried to lower that shoulder, get the boom on a linebacker, on a defensive tackle, and on especially on a cornerback or a safety, and it was exciting. You know, he was Cam Newton before Cam Newton. And obviously he got two Super Bowl victories to show for that. So the man has definitely been a fighter on the field. He's definitely given everything he's always had. He didn't cheat us as Steeler fans, you know, by not giving maximum effort. He has not cheated Steelers fans, you know, by going out there, giving up. He always gave his all. You saw that on the field. He always wanted to win. So we are truly, truly grateful as Steeler Nation. You know, today just says thank you to Big Ben Roethlisberger, number 7. And that number right there should be retired at Heinz Field. Nobody should ever wear number 7 again in Steeler history. Moving on to the future of the Steelers, though. Right now, in this moment, in this time, because we don't have a suitable quarterback, it's just looking bleak. Now, I know that I said a couple minutes ago that, you know, Big Ben didn't leave us in disastrous positions. But I'm talking about while he was on the field. You know, with him being on the field and him being half of what he was, the Steelers were still a playoff team 2 years in a row. Started off 11-0 last season. Obviously, I understand that the defense was the biggest part of that. But also, you know, the offensive coordinator had some schemes and some things that Ben Roethlisberger ran him well. They didn't finish off the season strong. Obviously, things didn't start out good in the Browns game and just avalanche from there. But again, I say that the Steelers had a chance at the Lombardi Trophy because they were in the tournament the last 2 years. But with the quarterbacks that the Steelers organization have right now, Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins, the wonder kid that the Giants fans wanted, right now it's not something that I'm looking forward to seeing. Now, I give Pittsburgh props. I give the Rooney family props. They looked after Ben Roethlisberger. They gave him money that, no, he didn't deserve. Just like the Lakers gave money to Kobe Bryant that he didn't deserve at the end of his tenure. But organizations that take care of their players, they get rewards. You saw that happen. LeBron James came over to the Lakers. They won a championship. AD came over. They won a championship. Because Jeannie Buss showed, I take care of my players. And now I expect another quarterback to come in here. I don't know how free agency or trade or something like that. Some are saying Aaron Rodgers. I'm saying I'd rather see Aaron Rodgers walk away from the Green Bay Packers after next season when he's a free agent and then come into Pittsburgh. I'd love that because right now we'd have to give up a lot. But if we went out and we aggressively pursued Aaron Rodgers, I would have no problem with that. Zero problem with that. If we gave up future draft picks, no problem. As long as you don't give up TJ Watt or Cam Hayward or Minka Fitzpatrick, no problem with who you give up. You could give up Juju. You could give up Deontay Johnson. Give him up all. You could even give up Najee Harris, even though that'd be the fourth guy that I say, nope. But if you get Aaron Rodgers in here and you got the chance to give away Najee Harris, I welcome it. Just the other three guys, we need those guys. They're the anchors to our defense. They are the heart and soul of the team, especially TJ Watt. TJ runs it out there in Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers needs a defense to get him the ball back, and obviously those three guys are a big part of that. But if I could see a trade with a couple of first-round picks and Najee Harris, something else, Deontay Johnson, like I said, Juju, why not? Maybe Davante Adams will join him. Maybe he'll get franchise tag. Don't know. Packers have huge, huge salary cap issues right now. They're $44 million over the cap. So they also got their own things going on. But Steelers go out. They get somebody in the draft. They trade up in the draft or something like that. Get somebody like Matt Corral or you know, one of the other quarterbacks that are middle of the pack. This year is not some great, great quarterbacks. They are just not franchise-changing quarterbacks. So as a Steeler fan, I'm not thinking here saying, hey, let's go out, give out some more, you know, some picks for the future and go out get one of these guys. I'm not even thinking like that. I'm just thinking maybe free agency. There's some guys out there in free agency that are veterans. You strengthen up the defense continually. You get some guys, you know, from the draft for offense. And if you don't got a shot at Aaron Rodgers, you don't got a shot at Aaron Rodgers. If he doesn't go anywhere and next season he's a free agent, I think you are totally in the game. But right now, when it comes to Big Ben Roethlisberger not being on the field, the Steelers are a mess. That's how valuable and that's how still great he was. And I'm talking about when I say great, I mean IQ-wise, understanding how to get the ball somewhere, who to get the ball to, making enough plays to have the Steelers, you know, in playoff contention and in the playoffs the last 2 years. They don't have a quarterback like that right now. So obviously the Steelers, if they don't get somebody in there off a free agency that's a veteran, somebody that could understand how to play the position and do just enough like Big Ben was doing, Steelers on their way to the bottom. But 1 year at the bottom, next year's draft class has some better quarterbacks, has some better prospects. So guess what? I actually wouldn't even mind the Steelers taking a year and getting some good picks. But again, if Aaron Rodgers is on the table, you go get Aaron Rodgers. We're not trying to be the New York Giants. We come back quick. Quick little rock bottom and get back to the top. We ain't trying to stay in purgatory forever. Thank you, Seven. It's time. Woo! The conference championships are here. Sunday, January 30th starts off at 3 p.m. on CBS. The favorites are Kansas City by 7 points, a full touchdown over the Cincinnati Bengals, who beat them in week 17, by the way. I'm ready to get into this. After the somber and melancholy first segment with Big Ben Roethlisberger, I'm ready to be happy again. I'm ready to get hype. I already am hyped and am ready to pick the winner of this game. I've been deliberating all week on who I think is going to win this game. I've just been saying to myself, I don't know who's going to win this game. But I had to go back into the archives. And I had to remember who I picked at the beginning of the season. So I just want to say this before I make my pick, which has been my pick since the beginning of the year. I want to say that it was a heck of a game. Week 17, Ja'Marr Chase, 11 catches, 266 yards. Joe Cool came out, balled that day. And I've been impressed with Cincinnati this whole time during this run. I picked them the first game to beat the Raiders. I picked them to lose the second game, and they won that. So now, here we go. AFC Championship. The young, hungry Cincinnati Bengals coming in to Kansas City. And the young, hungry Bengals, like I said last week, got out some defensive tackles. But you know what? They came out against the Titans and the defense played good. They had their back against the wall. People were doubting them like I did. Thought Derrick Henry was going to go off big. Obviously, we know that he had a touchdown run. But I thought he was going to go bigger than that. And he didn't. And that Bengal defense played pretty good. Now, obviously, the offensive line was terrible. And it took a Herculean effort from Joe Cool to get back up from 9 sacks. You know, make some great plays on 2nd and long, 3rd and long. So shout out to him. Shout out to Joe Cool. I'm liking this brother more by the day. No, I'm not a fan of the Cincinnati Bengals. I love the AFC North, the entertainment of the AFC North. I love it. Every team plays hard. Every team plays smash mouth. Every team is ready to go every single week to win a game. They'll do whatever it takes. I love this division. So I respect the Cincinnati Bengals. They made a great pick with Joe Cool. They made a great pick with Ja'Marr Chase. I myself thought they should have took Penei Sewell, left tackle, go to work, you know, protect your quarterback. But they made the right choice. Their deep pass game is heavily, heavily improved. Cannot front on that. But ever since week six, the Kansas City Chiefs have been who we thought they were going to be. The Kansas City Chiefs have been who I thought they were going to be. The only exception that the Kansas City Chiefs, the only expectation that the Kansas City Chiefs did not meet for me in this season was that they were going to be the number one seed. They had a shot, but obviously the Titans won on the last week. And the Titans had the tiebreaker because they beat the Chiefs. So the Chiefs came up second. So I missed by one seed. Most of us missed by one seed what we predicted the Chiefs to get or where they were going to be. Before the season began, my picks were what my picks are still alive. This is one of my picks right here. I saw the offensive line. They got better from week six and on. The offensive line started gelling from week six and on. They were 2-3 the first 5 weeks. Then all of a sudden they woke up. And then we saw the offensive line gelling. We saw Patrick Mahomes take the underneath stuff. We saw the play calling change a little bit. If you're not going to give us the deep pass, all right, we'll take the medium, we'll take the short. Our wide receivers will make plays instead of just Pat Mahomes making the plays for them. They'll make the plays. It's all right, we'll take it. That's what they done. After starting out 2-3, the defense responded and played like a top 10 defense. That I did not see coming. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say that I saw that coming. I did not. But obviously, all of us saw coming the way that the offense would come on strong. Nobody counted out the Kansas City Chiefs after they were 2-3. Now, we probably didn't think they were going to win the division after starting out 2-3. But we most certainly thought they would still make the playoffs because they would get it together. They find their way, and find their way they did. And ended up number two. And before the season started, I said it was going to be the Super Bowl of the Chiefs and the Rams. And both my picks are alive. And guess what? I'm not jumping off the train. I'm not letting go of the picks. The Rams are still the pick. The Rams are the pick. But this is the second pick to get there, to match up with the Rams. I am a little worried. Bengals are playing good. Bengals on offense are healthy. The Bengals right now, their injuries are on the D-line, which can be a big, big problem against Kansas City. Because if you don't get a pass rush, if you don't get a pass rush on Pat Mahomes, like the way that we saw in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 55, you might be in for a long day. Most likely, you're in for a long day. But here's why I'm worried. The best defensive player on Kansas City, Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger. Concussion issue, concussion protocol. Now we saw Teddy Bridgewater. He was out for 3 weeks in the concussion protocol. So you just never know how these things are going to go. Nick Bosa, he was out for a couple of days. He didn't practice for, you know, and then came back against the Green Bay Packers, played phenomenal, you know, had a fumble, had a forced fumble. Obviously, they didn't recover, but the Niners won the game. But he came out and he balled and he put pressure on Aaron Rodgers. So you never know with these concussions how it's going to go. I can say that Tyrann Mathieu, he didn't practice on Wednesday. But Andy Reid did say that he's looking okay and that he has a chance to play this Sunday. He has a chance to play on Sunday. Now, by the time you hear this, if they say that he's playing, you could very well put it down that I will be extremely confident that the Kansas City Chiefs will win that game. But without this brother right here, without their best defensive player, without the guy who can play cornerback, linebacker, and safety, he can line up at either one, either three. He can line up wherever he wants to. I mean, he's not going to line up at linebacker every single snap. But if you need him to be the eighth guy in the box, he'll line up in there. The guy will get in there, he'll play some smash mouth football. If he's not out there, I think that Joku might have some deep, deep passes on the horizon for this team. So we'll see what happens with Tyrann Mathieu. But Jason Tupuo for the Bengals, still questionable. Not sure what's going to happen with him. Cam Sample, not sure what's going to happen with him. Looking like they both might play. Just not 100% right now by the time I'm recording this. So if something changes by the time you hear it, I think the game will be tight. I don't think it's going to be 7 points. I just want to say something about the 7 points. I don't get it. The odds makers are out here saying 7 points. I just don't understand it right now. I really don't. 7 point game for the Kansas City Chiefs. I understand they're at home. I understand they're looking good. But they just played this team week 17. And they lost to this team. And the Bengals are not injured on offense, which is what makes them go. And Tyrann Mathieu might not play. So I just don't get the 7 points. So I'm not going to go with the 7 points. What I'm going to do is this. I'm taking the Chiefs, but I'm taking the under. I think it's going to be a tight game. Last weekend, probably the greatest football weekend of all time, saw three games decided by three and one decided by six, which was the game that I said was going to be the one with the biggest spread. That ended up being the Chiefs game, 6 over the Bills. Every other game, super tight. I told you, I knew that the 49ers and the Packers was not going to be the biggest spread as the odds makers predicted. Wasn't going to be a 5.5 point game. It wasn't a 5.5 point game. I'm going with the Chiefs. Going back to the Super Bowl. Third straight year. But the guys on the other side. The LA Rams. That's my pick for the game. I don't need to elaborate why I picked them from the beginning of the season. I said they were going to win the Super Bowl. I'm not guaranteeing it. I'm not booking it. I just predicted it since before the season began. Matt Stafford, Cooper Kupp, OBJ, Von Miller, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, Leonard Floyd, ready to go. I want to see that Super Bowl. The great pass rush versus the great passing offense. The quarterback who's never got it done versus arguably one of the top five quarterbacks ever. People already putting him there. I'm not. He's only been around 4 or 5 years. I ain't doing that yet, but he's well on his way. I want to see it. Let's get it done, LA. 49ers, big props to them. Big props because last week they did what they had to do. Big props to the 49ers because last week in a 13-10 win versus the Packers, defense came out, they played, they balled. They did what they had to. The offense stunk. Flat out garbage. Jimmy G needs to be replaced. Next year, Trey Lance, they need to get this brother in the lineup ASAP. soon as next season starts. But for now, for right now, Jimmy G's the guy in the center and should be the guy in the center. Rookies don't win in the playoffs. See Mac Jones. Rookie quarterbacks don't win in the playoffs. See every year in the history of the NFL, no rookie quarterback has ever started under center and won a Super Bowl. Zero. But next year, Trey Lance, they got to get this brother in the game. Because that offense looked horrible on Saturday. That offense looked horrible last Saturday. Jimmy G, 11 for 19, 131 yards and a pick in the goal line. It's not going to get it done. But shout out to the defense. I can't even front. Shout out to the defense who on the first drive looked like hot garbage. Hot garbage on the first drive. A hot knife through butter. That's what they looked like on the first drive. But here's what happened after that. I'm talking about the defense now. Green Bay had 10 possessions in that game. Their second possession, San Francisco forced a fumble on Mercedes Lewis. That was Fred Warner. Green Bay's third possession, they forced a three and out. Green Bay's fourth possession, another three and out. Green Bay's fifth possession, six plays for 16 yards. A punt. Then the hot garbage came back out on the field and they got intercepted at the goal line. Talking about the 49er offense. And it was coming down end of the half. Here we go. Green Bay starts out at the 4 with 56 seconds left. You know Aaron Rodgers can do something. 75-yard pass to Aaron Jones. They get in field goal range. The San Francisco defense comes out. They sack Aaron Rodgers. Then for some reason, San Francisco calls a timeout. Not sure why. So then obviously, Aaron Rodgers, I'm sorry. He gets sacked, and then Aaron Rodgers spikes the ball with 3 seconds left. So now it's 3rd and 17. Mason Crosby comes out for a 39-yard field goal, and is blocked. So the special teams and the defense for the 49ers went to work. Second half starts off, 45-yard kick return, good field position, 10 plays, they go down for 39 yards, and they get a field goal. I'm talking about San Francisco to start the half. Green Bay, 3 and out. Green Bay gets the ball back later on in the quarter with 9 minutes to go. Green Bay gets the ball back with 5 minutes to go, 14 plays, 57 yards, and a field goal. San Francisco, they come back. Fourth quarter, they get the ball back, 11:27 to go. Turnover on downs. Green Bay gets the ball back, 6 minutes to go. In the fourth quarter. They're up 10-3. They're up. You know what happens. The special teams for the 49ers comes up yet again. Block, punt, touchdown. We're talking about 4 minutes and 40 seconds left in the fourth quarter. And this is what happens. Special teams get a touchdown. What happens on the next possession? Green Bay gets the ball. 3 and out. And obviously we know that when San Francisco gets the ball back, they go down for a field goal. But this is what I want you to understand. This is what I want you to see. Did you not hear all the three and outs? Did you hear all the three and outs? 6-3 and outs for the Green Bay Packers? Hold on. I just got to read you this line right here. 20 for 29, 225 yards, 7.8 average a pass, 0 interceptions, 0 touchdowns, and a 19 quarterback rating for Aaron Rodgers. You're going to tell me that Aaron Rodgers doesn't deserve blame this time? Oh, yes, he does. Last season, I'll die on the hill. That Aaron Rodgers is not the main perpetrator for the loss against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He didn't give up the Kevin King. He didn't have the blown coverage before the half to put them down 14. And then, I'm sorry, to put them down 7. And then before, and then when you get the ball to open the half, Aaron Jones fumbles the ball. And then your coach calls a field goal when you think that you have another chance at a touchdown to give Tom Brady the ball so your defense can go get it back, which they never got back. I'm not going that way last year. But this year, this season, this game, 225 yards, no touchdowns, 19 quarterback rating. You went 6-3 and outs. 10 possessions. You only get one touchdown. While the other team's offense is looking like hot garbage, giving you the ball back time and time again, you had an interception as a defense. Your defense gave you the ball back an extra time. And you're going to sit here and tell me that you couldn't muster up more than one touchdown? And A.J. Dillon ran that in for a 6-yard score? No, not this time. Not this year. This one right here. 50-50 right down the middle. Special teams and Aaron Rodgers in that order. 1A and 1B. How do you pass the ball to people not named Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams? A grand total of 2 times for receptions. Talking about Alan Lazard and Mercedes Lewis. 1 reception each. 27 targets. 27 targets the receivers had in Green Bay. 6 of those went to somebody not named Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones. And guess what? 4 of those were incomplete. Yes, I understand. DeGara, he dropped the ball right in the middle of the field, open. I know that. He should have had it in his hands. That was his fault. But Josh Norman comes in the game, late in the game. They go straight against Josh Norman. His first action in a while. And Aaron Rodgers throws it right to Devontae Adams and throws it low and misses the pass against Josh Norman, a guy who you should beat one-on-one. He's a zone system player. He's not a press-up guy. He get beat easy, especially by the best receiver in the league. The best wide receiver in the league. And you missed the brother. We talking about 50-50 here. I'm not talking about the lion's share of the blame. Not this time, not this year. And for all those of you who want to put the lion's share on Aaron Rodgers, I'm telling you right now why it's not. But I'm telling you why 50% is. Because you got to get your team into the end zone. You got to get your team scoring. You got to get your team into field goal position more than twice. This game should not have been 13-10. You got Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones. You're Aaron Rodgers. You should be getting more than 7 points on the board from your offense. 10 points because Mason Crosby came out here and kicked the field goal. Should be getting more than that. 225 yards for one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. No touchdown and a pathetic 19 quarterback rating, meaning that you had no impact on the game. Say Matt LaFleur this time. It's not the defense this time. Not this year. Not this game. There were no blown coverages. Giving up for touchdowns that swung the game. with no bad calls by the coach. None of that. Not this time. There were errant throws made by Aaron Rodgers. Not interceptions, but bad throws made by Aaron Rodgers. It was a drop pass or two. I understand that. There were good plays made by Aaron Rodgers. I understand that. But most of the plays that Davante Adams are short, he couldn't get him deep. They got one 25-yard hookup. That was it. 75-yard hookup to Aaron Jones. But the rest of the time, Aaron Rodgers was not going at this defense. He wasn't trying to make something happen the way that he should make something happen. I'd still love him down in Pittsburgh, though. I'm not going to say that I wouldn't, because he drastically made that team better. But this game versus the 49ers, the defense gave you a chance to win. I understand. I understand that you should have won this game had it not been for the atrocity that was the special teams. But here's the problem. You got the ball back at 10-10. You guys had the ball back. And what'd you do? Three and out for minus 6 yards. That was the totality of the yards that they accomplished on the last drive for minus six. They had a 4 yard pass. A 4 yard pass to Davante Adams. And then a false start. So you're already in the negative there. And then they had to punt the ball away. You're one of the top 15 quarterbacks in league history. And you couldn't get your team in the field goal range more than three times in 10 possessions? There's no excuses for that. None. Zero. I said coming into this game, this entire squad had zero excuses. Defense showed up. This team is too good. Coaching showed up. I know the special teams, they show up. But Aaron Rodgers didn't either. I want to end off the show by getting into what the show is about. The Word of God. Last couple weeks, football heavy, definitely best time of the year when it comes to sports, the tournament, the NFL playoffs, getting ready for the Super Bowl, getting ready first for the conference championships and then the Super Bowl, but getting ready for the big day. It's been a great lead up, but with all that stuff going on and things like that, and with nothing really, really coming to my heart, I decided I didn't want to force anything. I just didn't want to throw anything out there and just give, you know, just anything, because that's not the way I roll. That's not what I like to do on this show. I like to give a word that's in my heart, that something I'm feeling, something that's in my mind, something that's permeating within me, something that I am passionate about at the moment, something that's taking up my thoughts and my heart, something that God is speaking to me about. So I didn't, you know, the last couple of weeks didn't really have, you know, I know that, you know, show number one of the year, start off with engaging God. I just pray that that was a blessing to you. But the last 2 weeks, have been football heavy, no word. But I want to get back to that because there is something on my heart, something that I've just been noticing, something that I've been seeing, something that has peeved me for a little while now, but I haven't spoke on it, and I definitely want to speak on it right now. And that's something that the Bible warns us about. 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is telling his son Timothy, his son in the faith, Timothy, in the faith, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. I repeat that again. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, I know that other versions. This is the King, the new King James Version. And it says, the last one says, of a sound mind. Some say sound judgment. And I know that other versions say other things. Self-control, I'm sorry, was the phrase I was looking for there. A lot of versions say self-control. I like sound mind, but I understand where it's coming from. I just like sound mind because it is something that we need nowadays. A mind that is stayed on God, a mind that is depending on the Word of God, a mind that is depending on not just the knowledge that we have acquired, because the Bible says that knowledge puffs up and makes us proud, right? But a sound mind, a mind that understands that it is subjected to the mind of Christ, because the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ, that mind right there, that mind will make sound judgments. That mind will manifest self-control. But there is a mind that has been taken over in the United States of America and around the globe. And it's a mind that has fear on it. It's a mind that you can't live life. Life has stopped. There is no more life. And I'm just here to tell you that the devil is a liar. And that fear is a liar. And that everything that is coming against you right now in this time and in this season is a liar. Because God says in his word that he is not against us. He is for us. And obviously, the spirit of fear is against us. And the spirit of fear wants us to do certain things and wants us to not do certain things. But here's the thing that Paul was telling Timothy. Here's the context of it. He says in the prior verse, verse 6, 2 Timothy chapter 1, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. Stir up the gift of God which is in you. So the Spirit of God is telling Timothy, it's telling Paul, it's telling everyone, stir up the gift of God. Basically, he's telling Timothy to use the gift of God. If you're stirring up a pot of rice, if you're stirring up some soup, it's because you're going to use it. It's going to edify you. And Paul was telling Timothy, stir up this gift which God has given you so that you can use it. Because in verse 8, he says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us, verse 9, and called us with a holy calling. So obviously, Paul is letting Timothy know, hey, we got a calling here. We got something to do in the name of Jesus. You got to stir up that gift. You got to get ready to use that gift. And here's what happens. He's letting him know that God has not given us a spirit of fear. And there's a difference between fear and the spirit of fear. I want you to understand that. Fear, reverence, caution, sound judgment is one thing. It's, you know, I'm a part of a ministry in our church called the Healing Room Ministries, the River of Hope Healing Rooms Ministry. The director is Pastor Edward Guadalupe, who you've heard here, I believe, episode 4 or episode 3. I can't remember which one right now, but he was on the podcast very early on when I started. And we're talking about healing and things of that nature and the Word of God and what it has to say about healing. And being a part of that ministry, in the days of COVID, I don't even like to talk about COVID on this show. I've seldom used the word coronavirus and COVID because I really don't like to give that credence on this show. But 2 years later, to where the U.S. has found out almost 3 calendar years later, because it's called COVID-19 for a reason. But I remember in the newspapers, I believe it was USA Today, the day that Kobe Bryant died, January 26th, we just passed that 2-year anniversary. Obviously, just something that hits me hard, my favorite athlete ever. And I remember that the next day, January 27th, in the newspaper, I believe it was USA Today. Don't quote me on the newspaper that it was. Might have been the New York Times. That Kobe Bryant was on the front cover of his death. The helicopter crash was on the front cover. But there was a small thing on the front cover, like on the left-hand bottom of this folded newspaper. Because it's not a newspaper like the New York Post or the Daily News that is just a straight page. No, this is a folded one. So it was either the New York Times or USA Today. And on the bottom left, I remember, it spoke about coronavirus. Now, I remember it because months later, somebody online pointed that out. And I never forget on the night of February 4th, 2020, before there were ever restrictions or anything like that, just a week later after Kobe Bryant had died, and this small article was on the left-hand bottom of the newspaper, I remember that President Donald Trump had given his State of the Union address on February 4th, 2020. And Donald Trump spoke at the very end of that address, about us fighting against the coronavirus. Nobody knew what it was. Nobody understood what he was saying when it came to coronavirus. But if you go back and it might be on YouTube, not sure because they censor a lot of Trump things. But if you go back on YouTube or anywhere else where you could find the video, the State of the Union address on February 4, 2020, you will hear Donald Trump at the very, very end. Maybe with like 2 minutes left or 3 minutes left in the speech, something like that. Maybe less. Talks about we fighting the coronavirus and other things. And I say all of that to say that ever since that time of March 16, 2020, when the lockdowns began here in New York City and in other places, there's been a spirit of fear. And like I said before, fear, me being a part of the Healing Room Ministries, caution is one thing, okay? You know, just humanly being cautious and humanly being just having a sound mind. Right? Some will call it fear. All right. What I'm getting to is the different levels. So if you want to call it fear, if you want to put it on that ground level of fear, okay. You don't want to get sick. You don't want to get your family sick. You don't want to get your coworker sick. You don't want to miss time off of work and not get paid in some instances. Not everybody, but some instances. Depends on the kind of job you have, that if you don't show up, you don't get paid, or you might not have sick time or vacation time and things like that, right? So you have a fear of getting sick and not being able to get paid. Put food on the table, pay rent, things like that, car payment. And as we minister to people on Wednesday nights, when they come in and sign up for Healing Room Ministry, we put on our mask and we sanitize our hands. We lay hands on them and we pray for healing in the name of Jesus. You know, as it was said in one of the podcasts earlier in this show, back in, I believe, 2020, I'm sorry, when it first started, my brother, Deacon Manny Cancel, came on the show and he said, we've seen healing for all types of things. You know, we've seen healing for cancer, HIV, AIDS, ears being opened. We've seen ligaments and all, just a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, just God, it's so long of a list that I can't even just mention them all here for time. But if you go back and you listen to that episode, I believe it was about episode four. I think it was episode four. I think Pastor Ed was episode two or three. If you go back, you listen to that episode, I ask him, you know, have you seen this healing in this ministry, through this ministry? And just name after name of things being healed, anxiety, you know, and, you know, so many of the things. And he's like, yep, that's been healed. That's, you know, God has done that. God has done that. You know, even now during the time of COVID, we still pray for the sick. We still see healings. We still see miracles. There is nothing nowhere in the Bible that teaches us that because there is a breakout of something that life stops and that we stop preaching Jesus, that we stop laying hands. And the reason I'm saying this, and I'll get to the spirit of fear in a minute. And the reason I'm saying this as I'm transitioning into there is because I was in Bible class on Sunday and somebody had mentioned that, you know, yet again, there are churches closing and talking about only Zoom church. And Zoom church was a blessing in the year 2020. It really was. You know, March 16, the lockdown started. You know, March, April, May, June, July. Churches weren't open. They were doing Zoom. And we decided as a church to say, hey, you know, there were fights in the courts and things like that with other churches, not mine. And there were fights in the courts, you know, between states that they were saying, hey, you know, this is unconstitutional. You just can't lock down the church like this. Obviously, the First Amendment comes into play. You know, so when all those proceedings had happened and things are going on and governors realizing, all right, you know, we can't do this. All right, we got to allow churches to open. Our church said, you know what? We're going in, going to space people out. We're going to sanitize. We're going to wear masks. We're going to do what we got to do. And we're going back in July of 2020. And that's what we did. And we moved in the midst of that. We moved from one building to the other in the midst of that. And we didn't allow fear or the spirit of fear to get in the way of that because God had called us to move to another building that was more conducive and more of a blessing to us in different ways. And we continued to lay hands on people. We continued to preach the gospel. We continued to tell people about the goodness of the Lord. But obviously, you have a sound mind, you have sound judgment, and you let people know, hey, this is what you do to caution. To be, you know, to have a precaution. But this cannot stop the word of God. This cannot stop us from coming together and assembling as Hebrews 10:25 tells us to do, not to give up that habit. So there was a time where, yeah, we said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to be at home. We're going to do Zoom church. It was a blessing because the Bible also teaches us that there is a time when people had leprosy that you had to separate. You had to get away. You had to be quarantined. So the Bible teaches us about quarantine. It's not a new thing. I want people to understand that. You're listening right now. It's not a new thing. The Bible teaches about quarantine. Because leprosy was very, very serious. Obviously, there's another teaching in there about sin and things like that. I get that. But when it comes to a virus and things airborne and, you know, contagion, yeah, the Bible does teach about that. Quarantine is okay. And there was a time of quarantine that we took, but there was a time to come back. Because then you get into a level of the spirit of fear. And this is what has been peeving me is the spirit of fear and people giving into the spirit of fear. People stop going to church. People stop stirring up their gifts. People stop preaching the gospel. People talking about they want to do Zoom church only because of a virus. Most of America getting vaccinated. People are acquiring natural immunity, 99% of people live who have the virus. And what you're saying is that you want to tuck tail and run and just say, no, it's just going to be completely online. We're not going to meet. We're not going to lay hands. We're not going to have one-on-one personal ministry with anybody. We're not going to be there to, you know, hug or hold anybody. People will start breaking down and crying. No, we're going to do all of it through a screen. It's not the same thing. Meeting face-to-face with people on FaceTime and being there in the room is not the same thing. There's a time and a place for that. The Bible says there's a time for everything under the sun. And there's a time to meet virtually. That's fine. But there's a time to meet personally. So the spirit of fear has stopped and crippled churches, pastors and leaders, and people from preaching the gospel, crippled some people. They have allowed that to cripple them. Not that the spirit of fear has crippled them. They have allowed that to cripple them. But that's not the church that God called. That's not the church of Jesus Christ. That's not the church that we see in the Bible that is crippled by a spirit of fear. That's not the church that I read about. Because the church that I read about is a church that people were stoned and they still preach the gospel. People had leprosy and Jesus still laid hands on a leper and got healed. The church that I read about was a church that was under persecution, and yet there was a man who walked on the street and his shadow healed people by the power of God. There was a man who got stoned and saw heaven open and cried out to God. And that same man had an anointing so great that the Pharisees and the people around him, the enemies around him, they couldn't withstand it. And they was like, we got to kill him. But all those things happened and much more. Shipwrecks, beatings, upside down crucifixion. So many things happened. Being exiled to an island, being burned in acid, and yet coming out whole because God protected, because God helped, because God healed, because God is there. And the spirit of fear did not cripple these men and women of God. That's the church I read about. That's the church that we need. The church that does not give in to the spirit of fear. People out here not living their lives anymore. That's the spirit of fear. Being cautious is one thing, and that's cool. Like I said, when we minister, right, after a preaching, I can go up, I can lay hands on people. Other ministers go up, lay hands on people, but guess what? We have our mask on. The person coming in to get prayed for has a mask on. That's fine. We're taking precautions. We're not out here talking about we're supermen. No, we are people that can get sick, that have gotten sick. But we're people that yet are going to say we have to preach the word. We got to do the will of God. We got to testify. We gotta live out the calling that he's called us to live. Be it preaching in a park, be it preaching in a church, be it preaching in the front of the church. I remember in the summer of 2020 or 2021. I know somebody from my church will correct me. We were doing services outside, open air. And we were praying for the community. Like after we finish the service, we'll pray for the community. And we would just cry out to God, Lord, save those in the community. Heal those in the community. That's what God has called us to do. To be community changers. To be life changers. To be world changers. That's what the Lord has called us to do. But if we allow the spirit of fear to constrict us like a python, to constrict us like a boa, then how will the gospel advance? How will people know that Jesus is the Savior Oh, we do it by Facebook. Oh, we do it by Twitter, by Instagram. Guess what? People scroll, and if something doesn't hit up their dopamine, if something doesn't get their attention like that, they're just going to keep on scrolling. Oh, we do in Zoom church. How are you going to reach people? How are you going to reach new people if you're not preaching a word in a mall or on a street corner or testifying to somebody in a doctor's office because you're scared to go outside? The internet is great. It's done great things. We've reached great heights as a church, preaching the gospel in different places, no doubt. It's there for a reason. But we can't just give up on the fact that we gotta that people need a personal touch, that people need somebody there on side to side, holding hands with them, letting them know it's going to be all right. Letting them know, hey, the Lord is here for you. The spirit of fear has taken over families. People online talking about, I haven't seen my kid in a year. You know, divorced parents and things like that. Stuff happens. We get all of that. But because of COVID, I haven't seen my kid in a year. Really? The spirit of fear has crippled your family. I haven't seen my parents in a long time. 6 months, a year, my grandparents. Because you have allowed the spirit of fear to cripple you. And that's not what God called us to do. That's not who God called us to be. The spirit that God gave us is a spirit of power. A spirit, the spirit, the Holy Ghost himself that has shown himself mighty and glorious and all-knowing. That if he says, hey, go preach to that person, guess what? He's going to cover you. He's going to give you that grace and bless you to be a blessing to that person and to come out all right on the other side. Because he's also the spirit of a sound mind, of sound judgment. But the spirit of fear has crippled so many. And when I heard yet again that there were churches talking about, we're closing our gates, we're going to stop paying rent, and we're just going to be online, I was like, what? Not even Sundays. They're not even going to be just closing up shop and just saying, we're going to be an online church. Like they're the new Amazon of churches. I'm not with it. I ain't with it. And I know that a lot of people listening to this podcast right now, they're not with it either. Now, because I know most of the people that listen to this podcast. Now, there are some people I don't know. Shout out to Italy, Germany, and other. That's like the. Those, you guys are the ones that listen to the show most overseas. I know that there are other places, many other places that I struggle to name, some hard names. But I know that Italy and Germany are like the biggest presence on this show outside of the United States. So shout out to you guys. But man, churches want to be the new Amazon, the new online go-to store. And that's not what we're called to do. That's not what we're called to do. There's a time and a place for e-church, no doubt. 100%. Glad it's there. But to say that we're closing up, it's not what I expected. But you know what? In tough times, we get to see who's who. In the toughest of times, the revelations come out about who's who. And shout out to those who have said, we're going to continue to preach. We're going to continue to teach. We're going to continue to love on our people. We're gonna go to our churches. We might space out a little bit. We might put on masks. We might get some hand sanitizer and stuff like that. But we're not gonna stop giving people counsel. We're not gonna stop laying hands on people. We're not gonna stop preaching to people. We're not gonna stop encouraging each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs inside of our meeting place. because it is not the same thing when you are full-time online. It is not. And y'all know that. You're home, you're comfortable. You can walk, you can get up, go to the kitchen, you can get something to eat, you can go to the bathroom 3 or 4 times, somebody can call you, you can have your camera off and things like that. It's not the same thing. But the spirit of fear has crippled a lot. And a lot has stopped preaching the gospel, stopped preaching the word, stopped teaching, and have just started talking politics, and have started talking about the virus. I'm glad. I thank God for my church. We ain't doing that. Thank God for other churches I see online. Churches that I can't attend physically, but I love them, that I pray for them, that I see online, that I'm like, awesome. You guys are still going. You guys are still doing what you got to do. You're not allowing the spirit of fear to cripple you. You're not allowing the spirit of fear to stop you from your calling. And a lot of people have stopped, have allowed the spirit of fear to stop them from their calling of being a parent, being a worker, being a preacher, being a minister, being a pastor, being a teacher or a prophet. A lot of people have allowed the spirit of fear to cripple their ministry. And yet, the Bible still says, greater is he, God, in me than he, the devil that is out in the world. There's a devil in the air. There's an enemy in the air. That enemy is not greater than God. No enemy is greater than God. God can do all things. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent, omnipotent. God knows why he allowed what he allowed. I'm not fully sure why God allowed what he allowed with this virus. I don't know. But what I do know is that there are too many people cowering to the enemy and being stopped in their tracks. They have stopped stirring up their gifts. They have stopped their callings. And they say, oh, no, it's because we love the flock, because we love the people. How can you love the people when you stop their calling? How can you love the people when you stop your calling toward them? Ladies and gentlemen, don't allow the spirit of fear to cripple you. This right here is All Talks of Life with Chris Beniquez.
All Talks of Life with Chris Beniquez.